Today is the last day of a teaching series that we've called Alive, and I think it's been good. I've learned a lot, I've shared a lot. My hope is that you've learned a lot too and shared a lot too, maybe participated in ways that you may have never participated in church before, eating together like this every week, serving each other, meeting each other's needs, praying for one another, and getting together in groups and tables like this and discussing and talking and wrestling through the scriptures together. Today is titled Living Relationships. And I have to say, it is it's one of the hardest teachings that I've prepared for no other reason except to say that I believe that the truth that God is going to speak today and breathe today is one of the most important truths in the scriptures. God has created us for community. He's created us to live in relationships with one another. And yet in the very first pages of the scriptures, Satan steals that away, convinces us that it's better for us to be alone, to shut other people out, to hide our mistakes, to cover over our shame, to downplay our joy, and if at all possible, to keep everything we have to ourselves, and it, only when it's necessary, share or open our hearts or our minds or our homes or our lives to the people around us. And God gave His life not only to restore the relationship with Him, but to restore the relationship that we have with each other, to teach us what that should look like, to teach us how that's been broken, to heal that, to repair that. So today was a hard teaching to prepare for a few reasons. First is this. I believe that until we understand what it means for us to live in community together, until we understand what it means for us to be in true relationships with them, with one another, we will never be able to understand the life, the fullness of the life that Jesus has for us. But we just can't. We don't have the capacity to understand that. And the second reason is this. I've tried all summer to explain in words what community and relationships look like. I tried to use words to do that, and I can't. I can't do it very well. I know what it looks like, and I'm learning more and more through my house church what it means to be in community and live in relationships with one another. But I have a really hard time explaining that using words. And I think that until you experience it for yourself, you're gonna have a hard time really understanding it too. Words just don't do it justice. So today is titled Living Relationships. And I hope that through the summer I've kind of warmed you up to the idea of just sharing together at a table, being in community with each other, wrestling through the scriptures, praying with one another, sharing thoughts, ideas, questions, objections. Because today we're going to do something very different. Today, you're going to teach the sermon. Today, you're going to preach. Today, the teaching is going to come from your table and from all of our tables together. And I've given you all the tools that you need to do that. I've prepared you for it. There's an envelope right in the middle of every table. You can go ahead and open that envelope up. It's got three sheets of paper. Each one is titled Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3. We're going to start with the very first part, as you begin preparing for your sermon. And so this first page, it gives you some ideas and some tools. Work through it together as a table. Begin discussing and talking through the passages on this page. And then in a few minutes, I'll give you maybe 5 or 10 minutes, we'll gather back together and we'll begin discussing a little bit of what you learned on that first page. Don't move on to the second page until we come back together as a group. So feel free to grab some more food, grab something to drink, and begin working through this first page. In preparing a sermon is to read the text without reading anything that's going to help you out, any commentaries, without studying anything outside of the text. You read the text and you ask questions of the text by itself. So here it is. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." What does this mean? What do you think? What did you come up with? As a table, as a group, what were your thoughts as you began to study this passage? Anything. Anybody can go.
In 2:18, where it says that it is not good, that was like the first time that God said anything about creation not being good. Yep. Everything else was good. This is the first time it comes across of something that is negative to creation.
That is a great point. John said the first, in 2:18, it says it's not good. God does his creation, he creates everything, and he says it's not good. This thing, all this stuff that I've created, it's not good. It's the first negative thing to come into Scripture. And it's in reference to loneliness. What else? Yeah?
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, because as important as it was that Adam had a help of somebody else to be there with, so he wouldn't be lonely, you know, it's like that relationship with God. I got to believe after they sinned, you know, their relationship wasn't real good either.
Right.
You know, he was blaming her, she was blaming him.
Yep.
You know, wasn't good, and yet, you know, although we've got people around us and we need each other, unless we're right with God, all that.
Yeah, yep, yep.
We came up with the nakedness of the shame that they felt when it was present in their body, their mind, and their soul.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Not just physical covering themselves with leaves in their areas, but soul,
yep.
Mind,
that's awesome. He said, nakedness, it doesn't refer just to their bodies, but it refers to, you said, their body, their mind, and their soul, right? Yeah, that's great. Awesome. What else? Any question? Or maybe you don't agree with something that was said. Anybody have any questions or more thoughts on this passage? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Why didn't he just create both man and woman at the same time? Why did he wait to create woman? That's a great question. Go for it.
He didn't want any advice on how to do it.
He didn't want any advice. Yeah, that's a great point. Maybe. Yeah, maybe. And maybe wanted Adam to experience loneliness. Maybe gives him appreciation for community or relationships. Well, what else? Oh, yeah. Why do we look like what we look like? Yeah, that's good. Okay, I had a few different thoughts as I worked through this passage, too. The first one, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." And I put down here at the bottom, what does that mean? I mean, why was, if he wasn't a living being before that, then what was he? I mean, he's got nostrils. It says that, I mean, he was able to breathe life into him. So is it possible that maybe he was just physically alive and then as God breathed life into his soul, that maybe at that point he became emotionally alive and spiritually alive and intellectually alive? I don't know. That's a question that I had. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Actually, it says it all in the same sentence, that he formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils.
Yeah,
so he may have done it right then.
Yep, so maybe it was all together. Maybe there wasn't a period between life before. Yeah.
He may have created him and did it right away.
Yep, that's good.
It doesn't say he created him the next day.
Right. Yep. Good, good. What else? Any other thoughts on this passage? What about the flow? As you read through the flow of this passage, check out how it goes. It says, he formed man into a living being. Then he says it's not good. And it's not good because he's alone. He's lonely. Then he creates a helper or a companion, Eve, woman. And it says that they're both naked and they feel absolutely no shame. Whatever that means, maybe it's just physically naked, or as this table said, physically naked, naked in their spirit, naked in their mind. And then it says, God at that point said, what wasn't good before because Adam was alone, now because Adam is not alone, it's very good. This is the only time that God says his creation is very good. But here he says it's very good. And then, just a chapter later, it says they're afraid again. They're afraid to be naked. But before, as they experienced this community, this relationship together, it says they're not ashamed. They felt absolutely no shame. And then, for some reason, they do. And they hide. Does that flow have... I mean, does that draw up any other questions or thoughts or ideas or... Does he hear that?
One of the thoughts we had when we talk about relationships with others, we have to understand that our relationship with God has to be proper first for us to be able to have relationships with others.
Yep.
And I kind of, maybe along the lines of what you're saying, maybe God wanted Adam to experience the loneliness and experience, you know, what it was like in a relationship with God when you bring somebody else in. You know, we didn't discuss it much. But
yep. Yep. Great. Great. Anything else? Feel like you really understand this passage? Or is it still a little bit confusing? You still have questions? Not quite sure you have a good grasp on it yet. When I'm preparing for a teaching, that's exactly how I feel at this point. You've wrestled with it a little bit. You've struggled through some of the hard parts. You've asked a lot of questions, and there's still a point where you don't quite get it. You don't quite understand it. There's still some things that you wonder about. As you still feel that tension, that confusion, as a table, as your little house church or community together, I want you to move on to the next page. The next page is going to take some of these thoughts from this passage and begin to relate them to your life. So as you do that, work through that as a table, and we'll come back and we'll start to talk through some of those as well. Do you think through any more from this passage? Any illustrations, thoughts, ideas, other things come to mind as you continue to dialogue and work through this passage? What'd you think? Looks like you guys got far. Yeah. What do you think?
One of the things we talked about was the fact that in order for me to be vulnerable to the public people, I have to have my relationship with God. He's my security. So that if I can reject him, I'm so obsessed with him. Otherwise, I'm never going to know him.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's great. Yep. I'll share. Here's one thing. I didn't share it last time because it didn't come to me until, I was working through as doing this until I was on to the second part. But here's one thought. What if, back on this first page it says they were both naked and they felt no shame. I take that not to mean just with each other, but with God as well. God, obviously he's walking through the garden with them on a regular basis and they felt no shame. And then, and if we take shame to mean, or if we take naked to mean not only just physically, but in body and in spirit, or you could say like emotionally, or just all together, holistically, every part of them, every aspect of their mind, of intellectually, spiritually naked, able to share or question or ask or any part of who they are. They were just free to express to each other and to God. And then it says, there's a chunk here right before verse 8 in chapter 3. It says the serpent, who we know from later in the scriptures, is Satan. He comes in, he makes these promises. And these promises are exactly opposite of what actually happens. But we see that what actually happens is that they create or they become ashamed, right? They no longer do they feel okay to be naked, and not just physically, but emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. They have shame. They're embarrassed, or they want to cover themselves or hide or keep back, not only from God, but from each other as well. And it seems, as we read through this passage and we continue to dialogue and ask questions about it, it seems like Satan stole this aspect of community, not only with each other, but with God from us. God says it's very good. He's created us. We're naked and there's absolutely no shame. And he says it's perfect. It's very good. And then Satan comes along and he steals this community away from us. Any other illustrations or thoughts? How does this relate to you? How have you experienced this?
Times when I feel loneliness are certainly times when I pull away and pull into myself and use my own thoughts for, what am I going to do about this and how am I going to handle this? And, just really, even though you, understand God is there, just not relying on that at all. And with other people, too. Because the opposite is some of the best times have been when I've been able to be with other people in community. And, they really help work through that. So, the loneliness isn't so much just a physical separation and all that. It's just pulling into myself and saying, how can I take care of this? How can I handle this?
Yep. Yep. Which I think we all do a little bit. We're quick to try and do it on our own. Yeah. Good. Anything from your own life or things that you've seen in life that might help to explain this? Or might help to relate this to one another's lives? I got one, but I don't want to share it if anyone else has got it. All right, I'll share one. Have you seen Castaway? A movie with Tom Hanks. He gets trapped on this island. The plane crashes, and he washes up on shore on this island. It's a small island. There's no one else there. He's a like a postal guy delivering packages. Some of these packages wash up on shore. One of them's got a volleyball in it. He's there for 4 years, and he wigs out, and he draws a face on this volleyball, and he names it. And then later on in the movie, the volleyball floats away, and he cries about it. I think that we thirst for relationships with each other. No matter who we are, every single one of us, we long to be in community. But somewhere deep down, no matter who you are, you need other people. Or you're going to draw faces on volleyballs and try to create that other ways. What else? Any other ideas or thoughts, illustrations, ways this relates to life? How have you felt lonely before? How have you felt this thirst to be with other people? Or maybe how have you felt this just embarrassed? We've all felt that before. Embarrassed, ashamed. Things that maybe we've done or said that we hope that no one ever would find out. Or maybe there's times where you've taken a huge step and you've shared some of those things with people who are close to you, and maybe in some of those cases it was a great thing, and maybe in some of those cases it was a thing that hurt you more than anything else. When someone knows something about you, no one else knows. They have, in our world, in our culture, they have power over you. Right? What else? Come on. Guilt, when we do something we know is a sin, it goes against the character of God. Guilt, we know we've done wrong, yet shame drives us. Shame is what drives Adam and Eve to go into the garden and jump in a bush and cover themselves up. Guilt is the point in which they recognize that they've done wrong. Yeah, I think that's a worthy distinction. Yeah. Every so often, I listen to this radio show, and there's this guy on there, and he does like different stupid stunts. And one of the things he did one week is he went out into the streets, and he I forgot what they called it, but he did this thing where he'd ask people, "Hey, how's it going?" And he'd say, "Yeah, it's going great." And they would ask him, he would say, "Hey, how's it going?" They would say, "Yeah, it's going great." When they'd ask him, he would go off and he would say things that were just way too much information. There's a point in our culture where you can share things that are normal with people who are on maybe a different level. And then as you grow closer and closer with different people, there's things that you can share with different people that's okay at that level, right? But if you were to share something intimate with somebody as you're passing them on the street, someone you've never met before or talked to, it would be very awkward, right? It's just a part of our culture. This idea of shame and embarrassment, it's all over us, right? We carry it with us every day, everywhere we go. We experience it all the time. Who would like to maybe grab a microphone and share something? Why not? Why do you think? Are you embarrassed? Or ashamed? Are you afraid? They're scared to say something maybe that other people would think is stupid. I do it all the time. Yeah, this idea of shame and embarrassment, it's everywhere. It's all around us. I'm sure if I gave you a couple more minutes, you could probably come up with more of these illustrations, thoughts, and just, now that we've talked about this, yeah, I do see that. I see that here. I see that in this relationship, or I see that, when I'm going to work, or I see that with my coworker, or in my family, or in my neighbor across the street who mows his lawn with his shirt off, and he shouldn't have a shirt off because he should be ashamed, but he's not. So keep kind of thinking through this and continue to work through this. You're catching on to it. You're catching on to the idea of this passage. On each page, you'll see on the top, it says, true life emerges only in the midst of community. I kind of gave you that one just to kind of build on. And now that we've moved through this second part and we've started to relate it to our lives, we've thought through first, well, what does this mean? Now we're thinking through, well, why does it matter? And this next page, as you move on to this next page, it's the page about the application. What difference does it make? So, with your table, continue to move on to this last page. Last page, I think, is one of the most important because it really ties in these ideas from Scripture to your life. Let's take a couple minutes and work through that last page. All right. I don't want to cut you off, but what do you think? Tell me a little bit more about this. Tell me a little bit more about this passage. Tell me a little bit more about what it means. Tell me a little bit more about how it changes you. If you believe it's true, maybe things that you need to do. What do you think? Everybody gets real quiet.
We talked about this is God's design, this idea of relationships and us sharing with each other, and a couple people said, man, I get up in front of people and start to share and find this way. Crying, mm-hmm. whatever. So we're trying to, how can we work beyond that? And we were sharing about, a few weeks ago, we were talking about looking for Jesus in others.
Yeah.
And, to try to put that idea in your head that, I'm sharing with them, but I'm sharing with Jesus. I'm sharing with
right.
God. And this is yep. something that, we've been told to do. So, we take the focus off of that person. We are naked before God.
Yep.
Understand that and translate that into other people's lives, that they're there to help.
Mm-hmm.
Have that picture.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Yeah. How can you... Ephesians, Colossians, Corinthians... They all describe the presence of Jesus as the church, as the body, different members. How can we draw close to God and yet not draw close to each other? That doesn't make any sense. It's not possible. Yeah, that's great. Awesome. What else? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep.
More
That's good. What else?
We discussed also that importance of putting 100% faith and trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to have struggles in your life, but if you trust the Lord, I don't know why you had me at this point where I'm going to trust you.
Yeah. Yep.
You're going to take care of your child.
Yep.
Just like if your little kid comes in, so bad, it's going to mind you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Very good. What kinds of things can we do, whether that be as a community or individually? I came up at my table. You know what? We need to be more accepting of people. We're quick to judge people. We're quick to look at people and say, my neighbor across the street, he should wear a T-shirt when he mows the lawn. You know, but we're quick to do that in a funny way or in a negative way, a way that shuts people out, a way that pushes people away, or times when people go out on a limb and they share information with you that you know is vulnerable information. How do we treat that? What's the right way to treat that? What else? I'm waiting for one to come out, and I'm not going to say it. I'm waiting for one that is the heartbeat in this church.
One of the practical things that we talked about, you know, for us, is our pace of life.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, it's not hard to find things. So one of the things that we really look for is who are the people who have a similar schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Get to maybe, you know, parents and kids who are on our son's team or whatever, so that they cross paths naturally, and then they're going to be sharing time with anyone.
Yeah, yep. There's community everywhere you go. There's people that you're already with, and it's whether you enter into that community. Or whether you just kind of go with the flow and try and shut out as much as you can. Yep. Right. I think there's ways to do that that aren't awkward, ways that you can really express, I really want to know how you're doing. I want to know what's going on. How's your life going? How's your week? Yeah. Good. What about, maybe for you, is there something that you thought, you know what, as we've worked through this passage, man, I'm doing this and I need to stop, or I'm not doing this and I need to start. Anybody have anything like that that they would be willing to share? What about maybe joining the house church? Entering into relationships with other people. That's one of the ways that we provide this here at Journey. Genesis, you know, this passage, Satan stole away one of the most, one of the things that God calls very good. The only time that God described his creation as very good was in the absence of loneliness. And that's the first thing that Satan stole away from us. A journey, we fight that. We long to see that feeling of loneliness go away. We long for everyone here to know that they're needed, that they're known, that they're valued, that they're important. There's no shame here. The Bible goes deep into this, even talking about things like confessing our sins to one another. We want to be a community that's able to do that. We can't do it even in a big setting like this. So one of the ways that we try to fight against that is to break up into smaller groups. House churches is one of the ways that we work against this current that Satan began in the very first pages of the Bible. So if you're not a part of a house church, I just want to tell you it's one of the most important things about who we are. And it's going to continue to be so, even at much a greater scale. So we're going to finish, and we're going to play some music. But before we do, would someone else other than me just be willing to pray? And I want to give you the microphone, so before you raise your hand, make sure that you're okay with that. Someone pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful summer day you've given us, Lord. And I just, we thank you for everyone here, God, and the community you've allowed us to have here in Cedar Springs in a public school, God. That's just a great opportunity that a lot of people don't have. Lord, we just pray that you would just be in our hearts and continue to push us towards the community that you created us to have. A lot of times, just from sin, we have a hard time stepping out and talking to a person we don't know, or we're afraid or embarrassed. I just pray that you would just give us that courage to be able to step out and create the community that you want us to have, God. And just I just pray for everyone here that if they really want to join a house church, that they would just find someone and just go for it, Lord, because we all know that that's hard sometimes. And I just pray that you would help us to manage our busy schedules, because a lot of times that's what's stopping us from doing that, Lord. And I just pray that we would continue to rely on you, God, and just love you, Lord, because we need you first, God. And I just thank you for everyone here, and just pray that you would go before us this week and help us to be examples for you to everyone else, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great to have you again tonight. Great to be part of this together. Thank you so much. I so enjoy this stuff and sharing together and hearing how the Holy Spirit speaks to us as a body through each other, you know, instead of just one of us. All of us together getting to do that. So that's great. So it's good to have you here. A couple of things. I think what we've talked about tonight and people really entering into community, as clearly from the Bible, we see that's what God created us for. It's what God intends for us, to be in community with people. And we live in a culture of people. In fact, it's so sad just this week dealing with a family who they have so chosen to just really isolate themselves and keep themselves at arm's length from people. No, and they've been connected to Journey quite a bit. But they just, you know, it's been kind of like this. And it's the difference, I think, entering into community and experiencing, working toward experiencing what God created us to, as we understand in Genesis 1 and 2, is the difference between those who truly experience life as God created us to experience and as God intends for us and as God wants for us, and those who don't. It's that simple. And we want to be a church family that does that. We're going to chase after that, and we're going to pursue that. We're not just going to do church as, I don't know, you know, we just have kind of thought this is how you do church. You just come, you do your thing, and leave. And no, it is about becoming the church. It is about being the church with each other and churching together and being community. So we're going to do that. And it's very cool the way some of you are part of the journey to do that. And we got people, I just heard this week about somebody here who's just sharing cars with people. It's like, hey, you need a car here, take mine. And people who are opening their homes saying, you need a place to stay? Absolutely, our home is your home. Stuff like that. It's all about reorienting our lives to this relationship, this community that God calls us to. So, a great job. Next Sunday is, I think, really just kind of a continuation of this. And the stuff we're going to talk about, you may have received a letter in the mail this week. If you didn't, grab one. I have some copies of them here tonight, explaining some very important and significant things for the life of this church. God has been speaking into the lives of many people here at Journey, and we're just seeing more of this kind of stuff soon to come about. And all that God will do and the ways the Spirit will pour Himself out, I'm so excited about it. Many of us are. And so I am thrilled next week to talk more about that with you and to share stuff and to hear your thoughts and comments and questions. We're going to pray together about it. It's going to be great. Okay, but if you just haven't even seen a letter that we just recently sent out, please get one from me tonight before you leave, okay? And we'll let you kind of, this tells you a little bit of what we're talking about, thinking about. And just want you to know, it is nothing more than, it's not bashing the way we've done church. It's not bashing churches in general. It's looking at it and saying, we really feel this is where the Spirit's leading, and there's some very clear reasons why. And if we look at kind of what we've done and what churches do typically to this point, it sometimes really doesn't lend itself to growing community and being the church and living church as we should. So that's that. Here's couple quick things. Well, one quick thing about that. It says on this little schedule that we were going to tailgate next week. Here's what I suggest we do. Because I love eating the food that you guys bring. Okay, it is a good thing. I suggest that next week, rather than grilling out, we kind of do more of a potluck kind of thing. Because then we can just get to it quicker and we can jump into the stuff that we're going to do next week. Is that okay? Does it make sense? Or am I... Yeah? Okay. Is that fine? Because, man, I'm kind of sick of hot dogs. I don't know about you. But let's just do that. Can we just kind of more potluck type style? That way we can eat quicker. And at least we'll... Because we're still going to meet at 5:30 and people are going, well, should we eat before, or then, or after? What are we going to do? Let's just bring food and eat. That's okay. Is that cool? All right. I think that's good. There will be kids ministries next Sunday. All right. We will have that going. And that'll be a good thing. So, very much looking forward to it. Two more things. One, we just thought, anybody who wants to tonight, you got a little extra time you want to hang out. I mean, it's 8 o'clock already, but you can stay up late. It's summertime, right? You're welcome to come to our house tonight. You want to just come and hang out, sit and chit-chat. If you want to eat ice cream or drink pop or something, get it and bring it. Because we don't have any of it. So really, you're welcome to come to our house. If you don't know where we live and you'd want to, just to hang out, let me know and we'll tell you where we're at. But come by. Last thing, next or 2 weeks from today is Wet and Wild. It's a way we connect with our community. As we go, we're gonna play part of a video here in a moment. I don't want to point to you. You're not the video guy, Matt over here. We'll play part of a video. We want you to know that we need to plug you into some spots where you can help make Wet and Wild happen and just serve our community a little bit. Rhonda and Carrie, where'd Carrie go? Oh, okay, okay. You can say to them, hey, I will be there Sunday the 26th from 11 to 1. you tell me where you want me, need me, I'll help out, etc. You probably have sheets that they could write their name on or get more information. So, see Rhonda. Brad.
That is church.
Yeah. Yeah, that is church for that Sunday. It's being out, serving our community, loving on people there, and just having a good time with them. So, 11 to 1, 2 weeks from today. Okay, next week is still 5:30 right here. So, we're going to show a video, and you can, after a couple minutes, just take off and grab your kids, and maybe we'll see you at my place. Oh, yeah, let's help. We'll just help put some stuff away.
Go up there, and these four tables stay. All the other tables and chairs go up to the front. So just grab something.
Chairs? Got that? All right. All right, wonderful. Good. Go ahead and run that video for a couple minutes, and have a great night.